Turning your Bibles to the New Testament and to the second letter of Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and at verse 10. And we'll read through to chapter 4 at verse 5. That's Paul's second letter to Timothy. Let us hear the word of God. Paul writing, "You, Timothy, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." Amen, and may God bless his word to us. We're looking together these Sunday evenings at truths to live by, some of the foundational truths of the Christian faith. 2 weeks ago, we considered the question, "What am I here for?" And we were led to the conclusion that we are here to know God. Last week, we looked at another question, "How do you know there's a God?" And we discovered that there's a revelation of God that surrounds us. Everything in creation is shouting out, "Made by God." And there's also an awareness of God that invades us. We just know inside, instinctively, that there is a God. Well, the next step, if we accept that there's a God who is to be known, is to find out what this God is like. And so we come to our title tonight, "If Only God Would Speak to Me." The implication being that if he did, then I'd find it much easier to get to know him. If only God would show himself to me. If only he'd speak to me and make himself known. Well, you know, the thing is, he has spoken. One of the very, very first things we discover about God on the very first page of the Bible is that he spoke words of command that caused events to happen and things to come into being. The very third verse of the first chapter, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Later in the same chapter, God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds," and it was so. Right at the very beginning, God spoke powerful, creative words, and things happened. Then, also, God spoke directly to individuals. Again, right at the very beginning, God spoke to Adam, the first man, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall die. After Adam and Eve had sinned, God came and spoke directly and personally with them in the words of that curse. Much later, at the giving of the Ten Commandments, this is what we read. God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." And so on. Much later, at Jesus' baptism, God the Father spoke with a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." You see, in these and many, many other instances, it was clear that the hearers were hearing the actual words of God. They were hearing God's voice. God was speaking to them in a language that they immediately understood and that had to be obeyed. Then again, God spoke through others, prophets, whom he'd raised up. Again, human words in ordinary human languages, but still completely God's words as well. Listen to what God said to Moses. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." Again to Jeremiah, another prophet, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Whatever I command you, you shall speak.'" So God spoke through human lips, and these words were just as authoritative and just as true as God's own words. To disobey or disbelieve any of them was to disobey and disbelieve God himself. And in addition to speaking his commands, his personal addresses, his words through the lips of others, God also spoke through his word in written form. First time we find this is in the account of the giving of the two tablets of stone on which were written the Ten Commandments. We read, "And God gave Moses, when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Further writing was done by Moses," Deuteronomy 31, "and Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to the elders of Israel. This book which Moses wrote was then deposited by the side of the Ark of the Covenant. Further additions were made to this book of God's words, Joshua 24, and Joshua wrote in the book of the law of God. God commanded Isaiah, Now go write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. God said to Jeremiah, write in a book all the words that I've spoken to you. Now these words were still considered to be God's own words, even though they were written down by human beings and always in human languages. They were absolutely authoritative and absolutely true. And then fifthly, quite decisively, God spoke through his Son, Jesus the Christ. He's referred to several times as the Word of God, God's Word, God speaking to us. So what Jesus said, God said. So when people say, if only God would speak, we can quite categorically say, God has spoken. But our theme tonight is God speaking to us. If only God would speak to me. And for the rest of our time, I want us to think about three things. How God speaks to us today. What sort of things God says to us today. And then thirdly, we look at some examples of God speaking to us today. How does God speak to us today? And I'd like you to turn back with me to that passage we read in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10, through to chapter 4, verse 5. While you're finding it, Paul was the great leader, the great church planter and teacher of the second phase of the church's growth, once it had spread out from Judea. After a dramatic conversion to Christ, Paul spent the rest of his life spreading the good news about Jesus, planting churches, training leaders, instructing congregations. And what we have before us here is his second letter to this young church leader called Timothy, with whom he'd worked for a while. It is, in fact, Paul's very last letter, written not long before his death. He mentions that in the verses that we would have gone on to read if we just continued reading in chapter 4, verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. Here he is, with his final instructions to his young colleague. Here he is telling Timothy what he ought to be doing as he continues the work of spreading the good news about Jesus and planting churches. Now chapter 3, from where we read, verse 10 onwards, right through to chapter 4, are Paul's final instructions to Timothy. What follows are more personal remarks and final greetings. Here are his final instructions. So what did this great church leader, this apostle, what did he have to say to his young colleague? What was the thing that was uppermost in his mind? What was the most important thing that Timothy had to do as he tried to tell people about God and how to get to know God? Well, look what he says in chapter 4, verse 1, as we read. I give you this charge, Timothy. This is the important thing, Timothy. Preach the word. He didn't say, Timothy, perform some miraculous signs. He didn't say, encourage people to go into trances and listen for voices. He didn't say, Timothy, be open to God and let God give you a word directly from himself. No, he said, preach the word. In other words, he was saying, Timothy, this is the way God is going to speak to people now, through his word, specifically through the preaching of his word. What did Paul mean by the word? Well, he meant what four verses previously he'd called the Holy Scriptures, the writings, the Bible. Mentioned earlier how one way God spoke in the past was through the word written. First the law, then the prophets. These sacred writings were collected together in what we call the Old Testament. That's what Paul means by the Holy Scriptures. But in the very next verse, verse 16 of chapter 3, Paul doesn't say the Holy Scriptures. He says all Scripture. So what did he mean by all Scripture? Well, he'd just been speaking about the two sources of Timothy's knowledge. Verse 14, what he had learned, presumably from Paul. And in verse 15, the Holy Scriptures, the sacred writings. So it seems that Paul was including his teaching with Holy Scripture. Certainly in other places, Paul directs that his letters be read publicly in the Christian assemblies, no doubt alongside the Old Testament readings. Several times he claims to be speaking in the name and with the authority of Christ. He even calls his message the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Once he says that in communicating to others what God had revealed to him, he uses words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. That's surely a claim to inspiration. And then in another place, Paul combines a quotation from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy with a saying of Jesus, recorded in Luke's Gospel, and calls them both alike Scripture. 1 Timothy 5:18. So it seems that all Scripture for Paul meant the Old Testament, Paul's own teaching, and the sayings of Jesus. In other words, what we have today in our Bible. And notice that Paul says all Scripture is inspired by God. Literally, God breathed. Now that doesn't mean that Scripture itself or its human authors were breathed into by God, but that Scripture was breathed out by God. Expiration would be a better way of conveying the meaning than inspiration. It's not that the Scripture was already in existence and God breathed into it. Rather, Scripture was brought into existence by the breath or the Spirit of God. This word originated in God's mind, was communicated from God's mouth by God's breath or God's Spirit, and written down by these writers. It is the word of God, because God spoke it. So this is how God speaks to us today. Through his word written in the Bible. He doesn't usually today issue commands as at creation. God could do, but he doesn't. He doesn't today speak directly in audible words to individuals. He doesn't today give chosen humans words to speak directly from himself. Today, he speaks to us through his word written in the Bible. As that word is read, and as that word is preached. Just think a moment of the benefits of having God's word written. It can be more accurately preserved for future generations. We're no longer dependent just on our memory. It can be repeatedly instructed and carefully studied. And that leads to better understanding and more complete obedience. It's more accessible to many, many more people through printing, through emails, or whatever. This is how God speaks to us today, through His Word. Through this Word that He's caused to be written. Through the preaching of this Word. Through the reading of this Word individually. If only God would speak to me, well, He will. When you listen to the Bible preached, or when you read the Bible for yourself, God will speak to you. Notice secondly, what sort of things God says to us today. What sort of things God... I think it's important to think about this, because I sometimes hear people saying, if only God would speak to me, when they're perplexed about something, or when they don't understand something, or when they want something for themselves, when they want to know what to do with their lives, for example. What sort of things can we expect God to say to us? Well, Paul tells Timothy here in these last instructions when he tells him about God's Word. Paul uses two expressions. First of all, in verse 15, where he says that the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, God's Word, the Bible, is essentially a handbook of salvation. Its overarching purpose is to teach not the facts of science. We can discover them by investigation. The Bible's to teach us the facts of salvation, which no exploration can discover. Only God can reveal. You see, through the Bible, God tells us that we are all like men lost at sea. We're drowning. We've no hope of survival unless someone should come alongside us and rescue us, save us. God tells us that we've sinned, that we've rebelled against Him. We're heading for judgment and punishment. Through the Bible, God tells us that He loves us, that He has a plan to save us and rescue us from this awful plight. He tells us that He sent His Son right into our sea as one of us, able to swim against the current. Ah, but then He allowed His Son to die in our place, bearing our sins, before raising Him to life again. He tells us if we trust in Him, then we'll be lifted right out of that sea. We'll be saved. He tells us that He'll keep us by His Spirit. Now, notice it's salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Not through being good enough or trying hard enough. Or turning over a new leaf every year, but by faith in Christ Jesus. So the focus throughout the Bible is on Jesus, foretelling, foreshadowing Him, describing His life and ministry, displaying Him in His full glory. Now, we never, never have discovered that by investigation. All that needed to be revealed to us. And that's the first thing that God says to us. He tells us how to be saved. That's the most important thing we need to hear. The second thing that Paul tells Timothy about God's Word is in verse 16. He says it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So having told us how to be saved, how to become Christians, the next thing God tells us is how to live as Christians. God's Word is useful or beneficial for teaching. That's instructing us about God, what He's like, what He requires. It's beneficial for rebuking, pointing out errors in belief and behavior, issuing warnings, for correcting, showing us the right and correct thing to believe and to do. It's beneficial for training in righteousness, keeping us on God's path. Someone has said God's word is useful for telling us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. Did you get that? What is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. Someone else has said it's about our creed and our conduct. As far as our creed goes, God's word is useful for teaching the truth and refuting error. As far as conduct, useful for reformation of manners and training in right living. Well, Paul sums it up in verse 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, it's to bring the Christian to maturity. So what sort of things does God say to us? He tells us about salvation, how to be saved, how to become Christians. He tells us how to grow as Christians, what to believe, and what to do, how to become mature. If only God would speak to me. Well, He will. But He'll tell you the things you really need to hear, not necessarily the things you want to hear. Now that might seem very theoretical to some of you. And so I want to close by giving you a couple of examples of God speaking today. The first happened in this very church 3 or 4 months ago to a young lady, 24 years old, who was just starting a second degree at Strathclyde University. I have her permission to tell you this and to quote from her letter, which I do extensively, all right? I haven't made this up. She hadn't been to church for 15 or more years. One day in late summer, last year, she saw the notice board outside our church advertising the 30-minute service. Occasionally, it would unexpectedly come to mind. One day in late October, she suddenly felt discontented and felt aware, these are her words, of a great hole inside herself. By the time Wednesday arrived, she felt absolutely compelled to go along to that lunchtime service. As she walked along George Street, she realized that she'd been alone for these years. But she was alone no longer. She said she felt a hand of immense strength on her shoulder, and the legs that she walked on seemed to be powered not only by herself, by someone else. She came into the church feeling an immense calm and yet an unbearable anticipation. During the opening prayer, she felt moved in a way she'd never been moved before. The message from Mark's Gospel that day was about Peter's denial of Jesus. She said that it was like it had been designed, the message had been designed specifically for her. Great tears rolled down her face as she realized how she'd been denying Jesus, denying Him a place in her life. Now, what was happening? Well, as the word of God was preached, God Himself was speaking to her. The preacher that day didn't know her, never seen her before. He hadn't chosen to speak on Peter's denial that day. That was the set portion for that Wednesday lunchtime. God was speaking. God was speaking to her through His word. She goes on, I suddenly felt washed clean, immensely optimistic. And I could feel that spirit of goodness and purity settle down comfortably inside me. Until that October day, I had no idea what the term born-again Christian actually meant. Now I know it to be an experience, in fact, because I felt released from something distinctly unsatisfying into a new life of immense love. What was God speaking to her about? About salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. If only God would speak to me. Well, he has. The second example goes back over 20 years. This time, it's a Christian who was at a crossroads in his life. He was set to move to a new job in his chosen profession. A good job with good prospects, possibilities of earning lots of money. Things hadn't been going too smoothly over the move. There were lots of loose ends needing to be tied up. He finished one job, and he had a month before moving house and setting up in the new job. 2 days after finishing, something happened that meant that the move was off permanently. He was out of work. The next day was Sunday. He went to church as usual with his wife and 3 children, praying that God would somehow show him what to do next. The sermon that Sunday morning wasn't a very obscure text. Unless the bugle makes a distinct sound, who will prepare for battle? And the preacher went on that Sunday morning about the need for preachers, preachers who would preach a clear, distinct message. The young man was puzzled by the choice of such a text on that morning. In that church, apparently, they didn't go through series prepared weeks and months in advance. That was chosen for that day. At the evening service, the minister was preaching through the book of Jonah. And that night came to Jonah chapter 3. He announced his text. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to Nineveh and preach. And he too, that night, went on and on and on about the need for preachers. The second time that day, the young man was in no doubt about what was happening. God, through his word, was speaking to him. Not calling him to faith in Christ, he was already a Christian. This time, God was telling him what he wanted him to do. He was calling him to be a preacher. He was directing him onto a new path. Probably guessed it. I was that young man. It was a long time ago. I was a vet about to set up my own practice in the Lake District of England. And God spoke to me that day through his word, and it changed my life. If only God would speak to me. If only. If only, putting it that way, suggests that if he did speak to us, we'd do something about it, doesn't it? If only God would speak to me, we'd respond. Well, God has spoken, and God does speak. Maybe God spoke to you tonight through his word. Are you ready to respond? That's the real question. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you still speak today through your word, the Bible. Thank you that you want us to be saved, to find and enjoy salvation. Thank you that you want to teach us and train us and equip us as your fellow workers. Lord, may we be those who are reading the Bible, listening to what you're saying to us as your word is preached, letting your word change our lives. Lord, continue to speak to us. Help us to respond in obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now our closing hymn is number 552, where we thank God for His Word. I think the tune that we're using tonight would mean that we need to repeat, God has spoken in the fifth line. We need to repeat, God has spoken, God has spoken. And then it fits the tune. I get a nod from over there. You might like to have an insight to what the children have in their leaflet about this hymn. Should I read it to them? Okay. It says, did you notice the question mark in the second last verse? There's a question mark being put in the second last verse. Just look at the second last verse. Do you agree with what it says there? Thanks to God whose word is published in the tongues of every race. Aha! It isn't, is it? There are still many languages yet that haven't got a Bible. We'll not change the words, but as we sing it, we'll remember that there are still languages that have not yet got God's word in their language. But we're thanking God for His word. God has spoken. God has spoken. What are we going to do about it? 552.